I want you to do some math for me right now. I'm going to ask you, how many undeserved, unmerited gifts of grace has God freely given to you in your lifetime? Okay, throw me a number. Everybody, throw me a number. I bet I know. You can't even start to calculate how many unmerited gifts of grace that God has freely given to you. But here's the good news of the word you're going to receive today. There are more grace gifts coming your way. Get ready. Prepare your heart, because God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to open up heaven and utilize your faith to release grace gifts on the earth in a very, very powerful way. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've been on a journey getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit. The first week, Jesus leveraged his credibility to say, I'm leaving, but I'm going to give you another advocate. And Jesus said, you will understand the invisible realm because the Holy Spirit that's coming, he's another just like me. If you trust me, you can trust the Holy Spirit. And then last week, Galatians chapter 5, 22 was the very central verse where it says, out of the person of the Holy Spirit, there is absolutely perfect emotional health. Because coming from the person of the Holy Spirit, you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. And if you walk in relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit that has this just flowing out of him, then that has to benefit your own emotional life and every dimension of your life. Don't you want to be a person that is known as a joyful person, as a loving person, as a peace-filled person, as a patient? And that comes from getting to know the person of the Holy Spirit. We also said last week that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. He never grieves us. The Holy Spirit has never offended you. The Holy Spirit has never hurt you. But Danny Duvall, and possibly you, yeah, you, you've grieved the Holy Spirit. And we studied Simon, how through just trying to short-circuit, you know, the next steps to be a disciple by buying it, by having bitterness and by iniquity that he made a member of his family, that he grieved the Holy Spirit, and always wanting to make everything about him. If you didn't get those messages, go online. Either listen to Pastor Dave on video or listen to me on audio. But today, I want to talk to you about something that the Holy Spirit really loves to do. And you need to be very aware of it. The Holy Spirit loves to give people gifts. The Holy Spirit really loves to give people gifts. And if you spend your journey and these grace gifts are not flowing to you from one reason or another, then you're missing out really one of the main reasons you were placed upon this earth. Now I want to ask you something. Have you ever met someone that had a charismatic personality? Sharon right here, if you don't know her, she's got charisma just pouring out of her. Yeah, well, some movie stars have charisma, a lot of politicians. You know, John F. Kennedy definitely just had charisma that just poured out of him. President Obama had a great deal of personal charisma. Ronald Reagan, how do you not love Ronald Reagan's personality? And the word charisma is a word that we use to talk about someone whose personhood just fills the room. Fills the room. We're in Christian dynamics. The word charisma is used. Are you familiar with the word charismatic? Do you know what a charismatic Christian is? A charismatic Christian is, and we're going to study the charismas of God in just a moment, is someone who follows the Lord, very simply put, who believes that miracles are still taking place today. Non-charismatics would say, no, miracles do not take place, and what was happening in the book of Acts stopped. But if you are a charismatic Christian, you believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are taking place during this day and time in history. Another word that is similar, not exactly, but almost exactly, is the word Pentecostal. So people who are Pentecostal believe that the miracles of God are still taking place. I asked one of the leading Pentecostal scholars, is there a difference in the terminology Pentecostal and charismatic? He says, no, not really. They both mean you believe that miracles are taking place through the power of Jesus today. But if there was a little nuance of difference, Pentecostals would say that the Spirit comes for empowerment for service. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power for service when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The word charismatic would say it's more about renewal, spiritual renewal in our church and in our life. So what is this charismatic experience? I want you to go into the New Testament with me just for a moment, and I want to give a little bit of context. I want you to put yourself as a spiritual leader in the early days of the church. You're Paul and you're James and you're John. And there's a lot of things happening in the New Testament that's never happened before. Right now, we almost have an overkill of Christian terms. They've been used so much, they're meaningless. Even the word Christian. Somebody say amen to that. But go back to a day when there was zero Christian terms. None. So all this activity of God was taking place, and the apostles had to say, this is what God is doing, how do we describe it without any traditional, historic Christian terms? Because Christianity had just been birthed. And they thought about grace that came from the cross, undeserved. How many are a little bit happy still today that the grace of God has freely flowed into you? I can't get over it. I can't get over it. I'll never get over it. Free grace coming from the cross. So Peter and the apostles, they said, how do we describe this free flow, undeserved grace stuff? And they went to the word charisma. The word charisma is a Greek word that means to come toward in its root. To come toward. When Bill Clinton walks into a room, whether you like him or not, his charismatic personality is so dynamic, it just comes towards you. And there are people that are not Spirit-filled charismatic Christians that have natural charisma, but for the believer to understand what the charismas of God are, it means that undeserved, from the cross, His love and mercy came to you. And we call it grace. We call it charisma. The word grace and charisma is the same word. It means to come toward. And likewise, when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, undeserved. But just like God's mercy from Calvary coming toward you as a believer, there are charismas, are gifts of the Spirit that come toward you and are hoping that they will be freed in your life so these gifts can flow from God freely, undeserved through you, to someone who needs this gifting of God. Amen. That's what charismas are. We're going to talk about more in a moment. But I want you to, as we study the Word of the Lord, and we're going to really move through the Word. If you're hungry for the Word, you ought to be satisfied at the end of this meal. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said this a long time ago. He said, I don't want any of you to be naive, unlearned. Please don't spend your whole Christian journey and not learn very much about the gifts of the Spirit. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Robert Morris, one of the leading spokespersons on the Holy Spirit brand, and says something in a book that he wrote that broke my heart. He said when he was a young Christian, he had a loving pastor that didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And he said, in your growth, you're going into ministry, watch out for people who talk about the Holy Spirit a lot. Watch out for those kind of people. And so Brother Morris, pastor of the Great Great Way Church, did that. And he kind of, anybody that started talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, he said, oh, my pastor's warned me about these kind of folks. He said, it stunted my growth. And for decades, I didn't develop and grow in the things of the Spirit that I could have because my pastor, who I loved and did a lot of great things, just didn't know about the work of the Spirit, and it wasn't a part of his world. So he tried to caution me. And Paul feels the way Robert Morris did. I don't want you to be ignorant or naive or spend your spiritual journey and not understand the gifts of grace of the Spirit that God wants to give you. You're a key player in the kingdom. Now, look, I want to show you something. I think this is very important. If you were to look at the original language and read it, there's something that's missing in this verse. It reads like this: now concerning spiritual gifts, but in the Greek, the word gifts is not there. So this is what it reads like. And you go, what? Everybody say, what? Okay, it reads this way: now concerning spirituals, plural. I do not want you to be ignorant. Spirituals, the word gifts are not there. The translators put that in there because in context they say, well, this is what he's talking about. Spirituals. If I came walking up to you and I say, listen, God wants to use you in the spirituals, you'd go, say it. What? So this is important. Spirituals are gifts, or they are little pockets of condensed kingdom. Think about what I'm saying. They are God's will. They are God's power. They are God's wisdom. They are God's power and might. It's almost like the coming age of the way the things are going to be, Miss Lily. Through the gifts of the Spirit, we have a little moment when in the here and now, it happens right now. So I want you to picture the earth, and I want to picture little pockets of heaven open up and little droplets are little openings of kingdom coming down in condensed places. That's spirituals. So when a spiritual gift of the Spirit is working in you, you are living in the moment, in the now, with the perfection of the coming age touching where you are at the moment. Oh, man. And just think, God wants you to be a dispenser of that. And he says, concerning these little open heaven, here, there, there, I need some of that. I need kingdom over here. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be open. I want you to be available. I want you to be tender. And then he goes on to say this in verse number 4, and it's very important. Concerning these gifts, there's diversity of gifts, but real quickly, this is Gayla's favorite verse. She loves it when I mention this, and I've taught this here before, but I want to catch it. In this verse, it tells us that there are spiritual gifts, son gifts, and father gifts. And I want you to see it real quickly in the text. The Spirit gives gifts, the Son gives gifts, and the Father gives gifts. I want to go from the bottom. Look at it. It says, the same God who works in all. The word works is energy, or igmergma. It is the workings of God. Everyone has a father gift. The way God worked in you, his power worked in you when you were in your mother's womb, and the way you were wired, that's your father's gifts. How many of you know that you're wired a certain way? Turn to your neighbor right now and say, look, if you don't believe it, I know, you're wired a certain way, okay? And it's not bad. That's not bad. That's a good thing. The Father worked and wired you. That's the Father's gifts, and we need to yield the way we're wired to the Lord. The Son gifts is the word diakonos, how we serve. Look at that. It says there are different ministries. The word ministries are diakonos. It's like we're to be followers of Jesus' example as he put the towel on his wrist and washed the feet of disciples. We're little deacons. We serve. We do ministry. So we have Father gifts the way he wired us. We have Son gifts the way we serve. And there's a place for you to serve at Chapel Hill. And it's so powerful, a part of your spiritual formation. And a part of your next steps really is being about a part of ministry and servant leadership. And that's what Growth Track is all about. You know, not only to let you know about other ways to meet new Christian friends, but if you're hungry to be a servant and be a servant leader, Growth Track is something that we use to get you there, to help you in your son gifts. But we're not talking about father gifts. That's kind of like your temperament or your disposition. And we're not talking about your son gifts. Let's talk about the way you serve. We're talking about charisma, charismata, spiritual gifts. There are diversity of gifts, but the same spirit. Gifts and spirit. The word gifts in this verse is charismata and the Holy Spirit. What is a charismata? What is this? Look at the definition. The charismata is an undeserved gift that is instantaneously, it's this little kingdom drop that comes into you. When you're available, it's an enablement of the Holy Spirit. You do not learn the skill set to do this. And it can happen and it should happen in the life of all believers who exercise gifts that God is trying to get to somebody else. How would you like to be the Father? And I can feel the heart of the Father in me right now. Who has somebody in your network of life that He wants to give a gift to. He wants to say something. He wants to make Himself known, but He has no delivery agent. And that's what this is about. He wants to give you a little drop of the kingdom that's very condensed and enriched to flow through you with so much love that this person that the Father wants to touch, He does it for their benefit, not for yours. In fact, the next verse absolutely says that. It says that, look, I want everybody to read this because there is protocol. There is absolutely protocol for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to what I'm about to tell you. I do not believe that there was a lot of misunderstanding about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the early church. I don't. I think there was a lot of good Spirit-filled churches operating with order and power. You know why? Because look at all the early churches, name them, the Church of Antioch, the Church of Jerusalem, the Church at Philippi. You read all those letters to those Spirit-filled churches. Did you know signs and wonders were taking place at those churches? How many believe signs and wonders were taking place at those churches? They all were. All New Testament churches were charismatic Pentecostal churches. And not one time in all the other letters to those churches did Paul have to straighten anybody out. Because they were operating in order and decency, and the power of the Lord was amongst them, and it wasn't crazy, but thank God for one church that was just messed up. The church at Corinth was out of order. And some people say, well, you can't have any protocol or any way the Holy Spirit ought to operate in a congregation. What? The whole book of Corinthians was written to bring correction to a group that was out of whack. So we have permission, and I'm glad that church was out of whack, or because Paul was just like you. You know what he did? He gave attention to things that needed attention. And if the church at Corinth would have had such great orderly worship, he never would have written, and we would be so disconnected from what is a orderly, dynamic, charismatic Pentecostal church. But here's one of the lines where he says, you guys are messed up a little bit. Because he says, when these kingdom droplets come into a church, this is why they come. They are a manifestation of the Spirit to particular people for the profit of all. Lean in. Lean in. I was almost about to say, some Pentecostal charismatic churches have no protocol. Anything goes. And if a pastor gives any guidelines or protocol, you're quenching the Spirit, you're grieving the Spirit. But and anybody can get by with anything. But this verse says, no. Here is the requirements. when a gift is moving and working, it must be a blessing to everybody. Look at that. Everyone, say everyone, needs to be benefited. You may not hear about every gift of the Spirit. There are many gifts of the Spirit that operate in this church that you'll never know about. But people are being benefited. My dad pastored a church, and this lady would interrupt the church in a very weird and frightening way. I mean, it would just scare the living daylights out of you. It didn't comfort. It didn't edify. It didn't build. And my dad went to her, and this is the direct conversation. You have the benefit of having a pastor's son as your pastor today, so you get in on this conversation. And my dad said, why do you do that? Because it was scary. It was strange. If you were there, you'd probably never go back to that church. You know what she said? It makes me feel good. Well, honey, it may make you feel good, but it's scaring the living daylights out of the rest of us. So it's not about one person feeling good. Or it's not about one spiritual giant saying, I'm having my day in the sun. It's about everyone being lifted up. That is the heart of God. Amen. So never forget that. The work of the Spirit is to benefit all, as that scripture said. Now, then we start moving through a list of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And I want us to get ready to go through this list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. But there's categories, and Craig loves categories. So I'm going to give you three different categories that are on this list. And as we read them real quickly, I want you to see, and just go ahead, and don't worry about making a mistake. But these nine gifts are broken down into revelation gifts, vocal gifts, and power gifts. Okay, so there's three groupings. Revelation gifts, vocal gifts, and what's the last one? Power. So here we go. So we're going to read this, and you just say which one of those three groupings you think. I'm trying to get you to stimulate your mind and think. So here we go. I don't want to just be me talking to you, and you're not back at me, okay? But I know you don't want to get up there here and just talk, so we're going to do this back and forth. Okay, here we go. For one is given the word of wisdom, revelation. Through another, the word of knowledge. Everybody say it. Just what? Okay. To another, faith. Power. To another, healing. Power. To a working of miracles. Say it. Power. Okay, let's go to another, prophecy. Vocal. To another, discerning of spirits. Revelation. Okay, tongues, vocal, interpretation of tongues, all the same Spirit working together as the Spirit of the Lord wills. Look at verse 11. This is a very, very important piece of learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, this one and the same Holy Spirit distributes these. Who's the distributor? The Holy Spirit, as He wills. So no one owns a gift of the Spirit. No one. I don't care who you've ever seen operating the gift, they don't own it. The Holy Spirit says, they're mine, and when I need them to flow, I'm looking for someone I can use to release them. Now, there may be someone that's used in that same gift a lot, but they do not own it, and you'll never own it. It is a grace given to you. Now, I want to talk about these three revelation gifts. And first of all, I want to talk about the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Let's look at this. If you'll just go to the next screen, it says the word of knowledge. 1 Corinthians 12, 8. It says, to one is given the word of knowledge through the Spirit. Jesus operated in the word of knowledge. And you should not fight it if the Holy Spirit ever wants supernaturally to give you some insight, some facts about a situation that you really didn't know. Jesus, you say, well, Jesus had a lot of words of knowledge because he's the Son of God. No, look what Philippians says. Philippians 2:7 is very important. And if I were you, because I've already done it, I would study Philippians 2:7 to find out how I can make myself more available to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says Jesus didn't worry about his reputation, count himself. He lowered himself. He emptied himself of his deity while he was on the earth. So when Jesus is moving in this fallen world, it wasn't like, I'm the Son of God and I'm the new marshal in town and I'm just doing it. No, you know what he did? He operated in the same anointing of the Holy Spirit that's available to you. He emptied himself so the gifts of grace could come. And when the Father and the Holy Spirit wanted to flow through him on the earth, he flowed with the charismas of God that are available to you as you follow Jesus. Case in point, remember the time when Jesus walked down and did something that was really amazing? He talked to a woman who was a Samaritan. Double human rights breakthrough right here. Right here, double. It's double. Number one, Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. Samaritans were people that were intermarried, either with Amorites or Hittites and Jewish people, and the Christine blue-blooded would not talk to any of the, and Jesus broke that. Somebody say praise God. Jesus broke it by speaking to a lady, a woman. Don't tell me that Christianity puts women's rights down. Hey, the kingdom of God and Jesus was the one that liberated the woman and brought rights. Before the kingdom of God, women were beneath the farm animals. But Jesus walks up, and man, he's just releasing liberty and dignity to a woman and to a lady the others had put down because of her mom and dad. And he spoke to her, and the gift of the word of knowledge came up. He never met her. But the Holy Spirit, in her brokenness, she said, I don't have a husband. He says, I know. How do you know? The gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of the knowledge of God that was imparted to him. He said, you've had five previous husbands. And the one that you're married, that you're living with now, you're not married to him. And you know what happened? That woman needed that so much from him. That connection, there was a charisma, a warmth that came out of Jesus that wasn't condescending, that you pitiful, I almost said harlot, but harlot, or you're terrible at relating. He didn't do that. He lifted her. And you know what she did? She went and she's told everybody, you've got to meet this guy I just met. He brought me into a place in my life. He gave me value that I've never known that I could have had. And she became one of the greatest evangelists of the New Testament. A woman Jesus released to be one of the most powerful evangelists in the New Testament. All because at that well, at that moment, Jesus was available for an open heaven of kingdom knowledge. Do you get this? In the future, when you get to heaven, you're going to know more. You're going to be wiser. Your faith is going to be perfect. So the gifts of the Spirit are like when you're here, you get a little dab of that. You get a little touch of, who would not want that in their Christian experience? So the definition of the word of knowledge is this. The word of knowledge produces facts supernaturally about situations that you have no idea about. But the Lord knows the issues and the context of who you're with. And he just brings that into the ebb and flow of conversation. And that person goes, wow, man, I can tell this is a God moment for me. Will you be available for that? Well, here's another revelation gift, and the revelation gift is this, is the gift of discernment. Notice what it says. It's not the gift of discernment of spirits. It's not the gift of discernment. If you're a mature believer, you ought to be a discerning person. But the gift of the Spirit of discernment is discerning spirits. And I want to say this. With the world moving to Dunwoody, we need the gift of discernment of spirits. Because there are three kinds of spirits that you deal with in life. There are good spirits, people with a good spirit, godly spirit, delightful spirit. There are people with demon spirits. And there are people with dead spirits. And different people need different things from you. Acts chapter 16, a young lady was saying all the right things. Paul was walking through preaching, and this lady, who was a fortune teller, made a lot of money for her bosses, got behind Paul day and day. These are great men of God. These are great men of God. Sometimes the enemy disguises himself and can say all the right thing and present all the right package, but in the end and the bottom of it all, it is a twisted manipulation of darkness to try to keep the kingdom of God from going forth. And she was screaming, these guys are great. And it went on day after day as that text moves before your eyes. And finally Paul said, he discerned this girl may be saying I'm a great man of God, but it's not about my ego. He says, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And that lady was set free from that demonic spirit. Paul ended up getting beat up over it. But there was deliverance to the city. I remember I'm going down the interstate one time with my daughters, and I've taken my daughters to altar services when they were babies. And I would walk them through people worshiping and praying with the babies in my arms because I wanted those little babies to feel spirits that were connecting with God. And I would just walk them. I don't know if that's a part of the magic potion. Excuse me for the word magic, but there's something tender about Hadley and Daly. They just love the presence of God because we've tried to promote an excellent spirit. One time we drive down interstate. You ought to do this for your family. Gayla never thought about it. Daly and Hadley never thought about it. I said, would you girls like to see a hangout of demons? They're thinking, where did I get a daddy like this? You think you can show us a hangout of demons? Oh, I know I can. I drove this interstate all the time, and there was this triple X old broken down gas station where truck drivers and men would hurt their wives, embarrass their daughters, and it was lonely and cold and distant and obscene. I said, when we drive by that old broken down gas station, I want you to look on the overhang. There's demons on that place. And I'm just telling you that just so that you'll recognize what a demon spirit is like. And then there's the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom. You need to be available. You can't make it happen. But be available to the gift of knowledge. Understand what a right spirit is. Appreciate men and women of God who have a right spirit. Pastor Dave and Cindy, I wouldn't be here serving if I didn't think they have an excellent spirit about them. I wouldn't be here. An excellent spirit. But you need to be around people with a right spirit and a godly spirit and a prayerful spirit. You need to know what that's like. But there's a gift of the word of wisdom, and James says, if anybody just ask for wisdom, God wants to give it to you. But there is a gift of wisdom. And this is defined not so much as facts, but as solutions. Put the definition up there. The word of wisdom is when you're in a difficult terrain and the Spirit of the Lord gives you a solution to the situation or a challenge. How many of you face things and you say, boy, I really would love the wisdom of God to come into my life and help me with solutions to things? I was talking to a lady who has a transportation problem today. And I'm believing that around these altars that the gift of the Holy Spirit can move in. Hallelujah. God cares about that transportation problem. Amen? Amen. Another definition of the word of knowledge is when you're doing life, and at that moment, the perfect scripture for the exact moment meet. Pop. Oh, wow. Exactly what God's word says about that issue is exactly what's taking place. You've just heard revelation gifts. The gift of knowledge. The gift of discerning spirit. The gift of wisdom. Paul was on a ship. Everybody's about to jump off. Acts 27. No! The gift of the word of wisdom. If you jump off this ship, this storm's going to last a lot longer than you've ever seen, and you're not going to make it. Stay on board. And he brought a solution that even the captain couldn't navigate. God wants you to walk with a relationship with the Holy Spirit, so when you have family issues, that God opens up the wisdom of the age to come into your discussion for a moment, and things turn out different. These are graces. These are graces. They come toward you. And as a believer, you want to do this. Say, Lord, when you want to send something to somebody through me, here I am. I'm available. Because I know the Holy Spirit is God too, and He loves to give gifts. Bow your heads with me out of this place. Grace is in this room. Grace is really in this room. And if you're here right now, and you have not been walking with Christ, and you say, I need forgiveness, and I need grace, and I need to make a decision to follow Jesus today. If you're here today, and it's just a miracle that you're here, it's just by the grace of God that you've made it here this morning, but there's something going on, and you say, you know, I believe that I'm here. Maybe you're here and you've never made Jesus your Savior, or maybe you're here and you made a commitment a long time ago, but you're so far away from that prayer. But today, grace is coming toward you, and you don't want to miss it. If you're here, you say, I need forgiveness and I need grace and I want to make a faith decision anew and afresh today. I'm going to count to three and I want you to break all pride and raise your hand. Would you do that for God's glory? One, two, three. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I want to tell you, I didn't take a lot of time. You can open your eyes. Thank you so much. I want us take a prayer, quick prayer right now. Would you, everyone, pray this prayer, not with me but after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing grace to me. I could never bring righteousness to you, but the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of the cross has brought grace to me. Isn't that awesome? Give the Lord a hand right now. Praise the Lord. Three or four people raised their hands and prayed their prayer. That is so beautiful. But I want to tell you, I have moved through this as rapidly as I could because of one reason. I want to have plenty of time right now for you to personally encounter the person of the Holy Spirit through worship and praise. James says, would you stand with me all over this place? James says this, if you will draw nigh unto me, contingency, everybody say contingency clause. If you will draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto him. So grace is coming. It's moving toward you right now. But as you feel the grace of God coming, I want you just begin to get lost in worship and the power of this song, would you? This has been a grand day. Don't miss the next few weeks at Chapel Hill, getting to know more of the Holy Spirit. But right now, I want you to begin to draw near to the Lord.